That's what democracy looks like. Welcome, America, to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy one last night as the Malloys cruise the Caribbean on their progressive, progressive holiday. There you go. Cruising the Caribbean on a progressive cruise with a lot of other progressives, none of which are me. But they'll be back with you on Monday. Until then, you've got me broadcasting live from the left coast. That's right. It is I, your friendly investigative citizen journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and apparently under siege all around swell fellow. If you heard any of the show last night, or at least parts of the show last night, we highlighted what was sort of breaking as the show was going on. That first I learned just before airtime that my organization had been targeted in this disinformation attack with these huge private companies. My organization, velvetrevolution.us and stopthechamber.com, had been part of a planned scheme to defraud and attack and all kinds of things by these private groups that were working with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to take down private citizens like myself, like Glenn Greenwald. Later on in the show, we learned that they had actually targeted me, specifically me and my family. And we've got some of the emails, right now, tonight, at bradblog.com, which only minutes ago was restored after a long day being completely down following last night's show. I'll have a word about that in a moment. But first things first, things most important here, what happened in and we'll get to, our guest tonight, this hour, Marcy Wheeler. We'll talk much more with her about this, Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel. Later on in the show, Frank Heindel from South Carolina, and thousands of votes lost, thousands of extra votes, thousands of voting machine errors that he was able to discover doing public records requests following the absurd election of Alvin Green against Vic Raul last year in the Democratic U.S. Senate primary in South Carolina on 100% unverifiable voting machines. He's a Republican and one of my newest heroes. Also, Sue Wilson will be joining us later in the show from SueWilsonReports.com, veteran journalist. Filmmaker, a documentarian of broadcast blues on the horrible state of the mainstream corporate media, of our public airwaves, and what it is we can do to take them back. So, a big show for you tonight, and I will get into more details on what seems to have happened today. Actually, our bradblog.com went down last night. Following after the show, and it didn't come up until just minutes ago. Our server administrator believes that it was a hardware failure, that it was not an attack by the friends of the thugs at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Timing was pretty extraordinary, I must say, and we've never seen it go down like this, not just Brad Blog, but all the systems that were on the server that I am on. I'm glad to say that it is temporarily, at least, back up, as are we over at MikeMalloy.com, where the folks over there, the server administrators, have been kind enough to let us jump on over there tonight as well to get out the word, since it felt somewhat like my tongue had been cut out over the last 24 hours and I couldn't talk. You can read more about how I felt about it over at Fire Dog Lake, where David Dayan did a great article based on an interview he did with me about this situation, this attack from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I will talk about that all in much more detail tonight, because none of it, frankly, is about me, but it is about this extraordinary nexus that we now see between the largest private corporations in the country, in the world, and the U.S. government, and the impunity with which these corporations are allowed to break the law without any kind of accountability, period. And what you're seeing, now in Egypt, as God is my witness, it's going to be coming to America. Unless something happens, unless something changes in this country, takes us off the path that we are on. I don't know how else it can go any other direction. That said, last week when I sat in on Friday, it was my first day here. I've been this is my sixth day sitting in now in a row for the Malloys. When I came in on Friday, I made a promise to the Malloys. Last week they called it Departure Friday, and the folks in Tahrir Square and in Egypt who are so jubilant now, and the pictures today have been extraordinary. Those people had hoped that last Friday, Hosni Mubarak would step down. And, of course, he didn't, and many people were disappointed, and they didn't know where things would go from there. So, of course, I made it my personal mission, and my promise to Mike Malloy, my gift to him upon his return, that something would be done about the situation, that I would take care of it in Egypt. And this was me last Friday on my first night last week on the Mike Malloy Show.
No, Hosni Mubarak has not left yet, but I'm going to make it my personal mission between now and the time I'm done broadcasting next week on the Malloy Show to rid Egypt of Hosni Mubarak. That's it. He'll be gone by the time we finish up next week.
There you go! There you go! You're welcome, Egypt. Happy birthday, Mike Malloy. I don't think it's his birthday, but there you go. We single-handedly removed the dictator, Hosni Mubarak, from Egypt. It's a new world. Thanks, of course, to me. All right, promise kept, promise keepers. Okay, tonight, big show, 877-520-1150 is our phone number. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. You know what? It's a good thing I'm not guest hosting for another week, because I would promise to take down the U.S. Chamber of Commerce by next Friday. But I don't get to do that because Mike will be back on Monday. And I'm sure many of you will be delighted about it. 877-520-1150 is our number throughout the night. We also have chat rooms now open tonight, both at the Brad blog, bradblog.com, and mikemalloy.com. It is the same chat room embedded on both sites. Since we were having problems, I actually did not think we were going to be back up at Brad Blog at all. I mean, it was literally seconds before airtime that we finally got it back up. So you can get to the chat room there. Go say hello to our hostesses tonight, Desi Doyen and For Earth. And if you like, you may Twitter me on the Twitters at the Brad Blog. Okay. I think I've taken care of all of the business. A couple of just some points. Obama today on Egypt before we go to a break and come back with Marcy Wheeler. He said, amongst the things he said in his statement today from Barack Obama, over the past few weeks, the wheel of history has turned at a blinding pace. Yes, it has, Mr. President. That's how it tends to turn. Be careful out there. He also, Richard Engel, NBC reported with a nod to Martin Luther King, said that in Egypt, the moral force of nonviolence bent the arc of history towards justice once more. Yes, it did. He went on to say that there's some things, quoting Martin Luther King, there's some things in the soul that cries out for freedom. Those were the cries that came out of Tahrir Square, and the entire world has taken note. Tahrir means liberation, and it's a word that speaks to something in our souls that cries out for freedom and will forevermore remind us of the Egyptian people. My note here had the corporate mainstream media followed the hundreds of thousands of people marching on the streets of this country back in 2003 demanding change prior to the war. There would be thousands of Americans alive, hundreds of thousands of Iraqi citizens still alive. Had our corporate media given a damn about justice and freedom in this country the way they did in Egypt this week? Much more ahead, Brad on Molloy. Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com sitting in one more evening for Mike. Boy, I'll tell you, well, not to give him any ideas, but I could use another week. There's so much going on, so much that I'd love to cover, so much that I had to sort of juggle around to make way for this this appalling assault from the friends and the thugs of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the friends of Bank of America, apparently the friends of the Department of Justice. We're going to go to Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel in a moment, but I want to try to unpack this as quickly and clearly as possible. What we have learned over the past 24 hours or so is that the several groups, Bank of America, and then we learned U.S. Chamber of Commerce, were working with a number of private security organizations, private security companies. The companies were the lobbying firm Hunton and Williams, who then apparently were working with or hiring a group by the name of H.B. Gary, another one by the name of Palantir, and another one by the name of Barrico Technologies. And basically what these security, these data intelligence firms were doing were compiling a program to go after, not necessarily a computer program, but a high, putting together an agenda, a plan to go after first, to go after WikiLeaks in hopes of discrediting them on behalf of Bank of America, since WikiLeaks is said to be about to leak documents based on, about to publish documents from Bank of America. And then we learned that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was doing the same thing and going up against its opponents, amongst them, apparently, yours truly, and my family. And my organizations, VelvetRevolution.us and StopTheChamber.com, which is a campaign of Velvet Revolution. And Think Progress has been highlighting this over the past 24 hours, including the emails that name me and my family and personal details. And thankfully, they've redacted the most personal stuff. But that's what we're looking at. And these are private firms, big corporations, obviously the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the biggest lobbying organization in the nation, Bank of America, the biggest bank in the nation. The plan to go against WikiLeaks, which we don't know if it came off or not yet, was also targeted our friend Glenn Greenwald over at Salon, who has a remarkable article on this today. Really getting to the crux of the situation, not just the legal matters that we may be coming up against, but also this notion, this nexus between private corporations, the biggest in the world, and our government, and how they are essentially now one in the same. All of this came about because the group Anonymous was said to have been, was almost attacked by one of these companies, this H.B. Gary outfit. And Anonymous said, well, the hell with you. They went after H.B. Gary. And their CEO, Aaron Burr, hacked his website, stole all of these emails, and they got posted. And that's where Think Progress picked up the story. And that's where my first guest tonight here, Marcy Wheeler, also picks up the story as she has been plowing through these emails. Marcy Wheeler, the great Empty Wheel from emptywheel.firedoglake.com, joins us now. Okay, that was hard to put all that together, Marcy, but welcome to the Mike Molloy Show.
Well, thanks for having me, Brad. You know what? The good part of this is now I know when your birthday is.
There you go. That's right. You have no more excuses now. They did. They published
we'll plan a big celebration, thanks to the Chamber of Commerce. Maybe we can bill them for it, too.
Oh, man. Well, they got the money. There's no question about that. They were talking about, at least these groups were hoping to get about $2 million from the Chamber of Commerce for these attacks. Let's start out, since we're going to come up on a break, but then we'll have a big, long segment. Marcy, let's, aside from my birthday, the chamber gave, what do we call this? It's not an apology. It's a denial. It's a non-denial denial.
Two. They keep trying to deny that they had anything to do with this, and they keep carving out areas that don't actually fully deny that they engaged with H&W, which is a firm. It's actually a law firm. They do some lobbying, too, but there's a guy there who's been in charge of a lot of union-busting campaigns, and so...
That's Hunton and Williams, H&W Hunton and Williams, okay.
Real pillars of our society, let me tell you. And through that firm... brought in these, you described the three security companies, and they were basically, they've been pitching the Chamber of Commerce for 2 months now to do business to try and map out their enemies, which include you.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, pat yourself on the back, because if the Chamber of Commerce is taking time to figure out, you know, when your birthday is.
Yeah, but you know, also
we send you gifts.
Yeah, well, also
where they got a bigger budget than I do.
Where I live, where my family lives, that kind of crap. All right. Well, we're going to come up on a break. So let's hold this for a moment. We'll come back to the chambers. I didn't know they made a second statement about this today. So we will hear what they said, because their first one, as usual, Marcy Wheeler took apart in short order, because it was. pretty lame from the Chamber of Commerce, but we would expect no less from those thugs. I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. I'm here with Marcy Wheeler. We're going to talk much more about this in this hour ahead. A big, big show for you tonight. And our numbers are 877-520-1150. You'll want to stay with us. Yes, I am still standing here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. The Brad Blog is back up only minutes before airtime. And I was able to actually able to speak to my server administrator just before airtime for the first time today. I was getting cryptic information all day. He does not believe we were hacked, that it was a hardware failure. The timing is indeed extraordinary, but I would like to think that coincidences happen, because it all came after I was on the air last night talking about this extraordinary attack, frankly, on private citizens, private organizations. Journalists like myself, Glenn Greenwald, my organization, velvetrevolution.us, and so forth, that the Chamber of Commerce has, U.S. Chamber of Commerce now says it had, sort of, they say they had nothing to do with it. Marcy Wheeler will clear that up for us maybe now of Empty Wheel. Okay, Marcy, so I haven't even gotten to see the second statement from the Chamber of Commerce. Their first one you described as a non-denial denial.
And so is this one.
The first one was very short. I'll read it. It's like three sentences. We're incredulous that anyone would attempt to associate such activities with the chamber, as we've seen today from the Center for American Progress, who printed the emails of what they were planning to do. The security firm referenced by Think Progress was not hired by the chamber or by anyone else on the chamber's behalf. We have never seen the document in question, nor has it ever been discussed with us. While Think Progress and the Center for American Progress continue to orchestrate a baseless smear campaign against the chamber. We will continue to remain focused on promoting policies that create jobs. Okay, Marcy, have at him.
I think Digby calls that clutching of pearls, doesn't she?
Yes, I think she does. Explain what that means.
Well, you know, it's just this false sense of outrage when we know that for 2 months, 2.5 months, the Chamber of Commerce was in conversations with H&W, this law firm, mm-hmm. and was getting content that I'm sure they recognize, including this campaign against citizen activists. In their most recent denial, I'm sure we'll get one every day until they eventually have to admit that they were part of this. In this particular one, they say, the U.S. Chamber has never hired or solicited proposals from H.B. Gary, Palantir, or Barrico, the security firms being talked about on the web. Nobody's claiming that. We're saying that they solicited proposals from the law firm and that the law firm went out and got these three security firms. So,
right.
you know, they're still parsing again.
Wow.
What's very interesting is they're using the same strategy that Palantir and Barrico, those are the two security firms that were smart enough not to get hacked.
Right, so far.
And they're all kind of saying, we have nothing to do with H.B. Gary. You know, it was all them. Yet, both of those firms have their employees participating in putting together these proposals. In one case, Barrico was involved in receiving the proposal on you,
yes.
Taking apart your Facebook data.
Yep.
Palantir were the people who put together the PowerPoint presentation on Glenn. So it's clear these guys were involved. I sort of think what they're trying to absorb H.B. Gary. They were just about to get bought out anyway. There were a lot of people kind of circling around them, trying to pick up their people and put them into other places in the national security network. And mm-hmm. I suspect they'll just get sucked up and hidden away. And the other firm.
Well, let me help them not get hidden away, by the way. The CEO, his name is Aaron Burr.
Barr.
I'm sorry, Aaron Barr, different guy.
It's like Aaron Burr, who never assassinated anybody, but tried awfully hard.
Yeah, right. Aaron Barr is actually the CEO of this H.B. Gary company. He was the one who was out bragging about what he could do and this and that, and wrote the bulk, I guess, of the emails. Well, at least the ones that we have, it was his server that was hacked. This guy, who's supposed to be a cybersecurity expert, his site gets hacked, his emails get stolen, and yeah. He was putting together these specific attacks, and he was sending it to these other firms, Barrico and Palantir. And so they knew about them. They knew what was, and I didn't get to describe some of the attacks, but they were talking about putting out fake documents to journalists, to progressive organizations, and having them publish them. And then they were going to put out the real documents and say, look, this progressive organization stole a document, defrauded, put out fake documents to try to slime us. And in fact, it was these private companies who would be doing the sliming. And in this case,
This is like, Brad, if you think about what it would have looked like to see the opposite side of the attack on Dan Rather.
Right. Yes.
This is what we're seeing.
Yeah, it looks exactly like what people claim happened to Dan Rather. And this was done not just against WikiLeaks or on behalf of Bank of America, or at least proposed on behalf of Bank of America against WikiLeaks, but then U.S. Chamber against me and StopTheChamber.com and U.S. Chamber Watch. So this is something they do, it seems, quite a lot. They seem quite professional at being able to do this, Marcy. So who the hell are these people? Who the hell are these firms? Have you been able to figure out where they come from and who they are?
Well, I'm not the technical expert, but I can tell you that they are. H.B. Gary is kind of some people put together. They're having a bunch of financial problems. Palantir does network analysis, and their software is supposed to be pretty good. Although it's kind of funny because throughout these emails, people are like, if I send this from a computer that has Palantir on it, it corrupts it. It crashes it. So. Nobody's helping themselves on advertising. Palantir does a lot of work with big companies, but more importantly with the federal government. And these are all of these people, you know, a lot of them have military backgrounds, intelligence backgrounds. A lot of them have consulted with the intelligence firms both in the past and in the present. And so, you know, Palantir, for example, has worked with the Special Operations Command, has worked with the FBI. These are the kinds of work that they're doing, kind of analyzing computer traffic to figure out who is doing what where, what kind of attacks are being done, and how to profile the people who are doing those attacks. And H.P. Gary's specialty, or what they were trying to sell to the chamber and to Bank of America, was kind of going to people's Facebooks and putting together purported ties between them to be able to map a network that then they could take down by discrediting them, and in so doing, get rid of one of the chamber's evil enemies named Brad Friedman.
and I should say, by the way, it wasn't only me. There were other folks at the U.S. Chamber, U.S. Chamber Watch. There was other people in my organization, men and women who were targeted with you know, had private information, where they live, where they went to school, what they did. You know, a lot
where
of folks.
Where their family lives.
Where their family lives.
The really creepy part is where they start talking about family members.
Yeah, and that's what they did with my family. Now, So these guys are making, a lot of them have government contracts, your taxpayer dollars at work, but this law firm, Hunton & Williams, H&W, who went out and was, corralling up these proposals on behalf of the U.S. Chamber and on behalf of Bank of America, I guess, they were recommended to Bank of America by the Department of Justice?
So we're in this position, and this is why I think they're adopting the strategy, right? They're adopting the strategy that says it was all H.P. Gary. We have nothing to do with it. We've done away with any ties to them. And at the same time, the Chamber of Commerce parsing wildly to pretend that they haven't been in conversations about smearing you for 2 months. And their goal is to prevent us, the American people, from understanding that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was going to use a bunch of security firms employed by our government to use the same tactics that our government uses against terrorists. So they were trying to do the same things that they use against Al-Qaeda, and H.P. Gary, Aaron Barr talks about using these same tactics against FARC, the Colombian left-wing militia group.
Right.
And they're talking about putting the same kind of team together and going out after citizen activism, free speech. And as Glenn pointed out, you mentioned he had a really good post on this today, and he named several crimes that these entities may have committed, right?
Right, yeah.
But these would be federal crimes, and who is going to investigate them?
He made
DOJ.
DOJ.
DOJ, right? Yeah. DOJ and FBI, we know FBI employs some of these people, would be in charge of investigating why the Chamber of Commerce is stalking you. And what are the chances they're going to do that? What are the chances they're going to expose to us the means by which they're using, right, to stalk at least terrorists, if not people like Julian Assange?
Right.
You know, but the government, I guarantee you, is scrambling wildly at this moment, and I also guarantee you it's going to get worse. There's still a lot more to come. As we speak, Anonymous is leaking the rest of the CEO of the parent company's emails, so those will come out, and we understand there's some stuff on Stuxnet there and some bots that they shouldn't be selling, so that's going to be ugly too, but though it's going to get very interesting, and just watch for this tension, which is that the Chamber of Commerce is trying to find some way to deny that they were using the same intelligence methods that our government is using against terrorists against free speech.
Yeah, against private citizen. One of the cases that Glenn Greenwald at Salon pointed to was when this group Anonymous, when they went after Amazon and MasterCard and Visa in support of WikiLeaks, when they hacked those little those sites. The Justice Department came out and said, oh, this is a crime. We're going to track them down to every, you know, to the ends of the earth to take these people down. And then at the same time, WikiLeaks itself was taken down for a time by a very similar attack, not by Anonymous, but by somebody who was a professional, it seems. And there has been not a peep about it. So when what's that?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
And everyone assumes that an entity very close to the federal government, if not the federal government itself, brought down a private website that was engaging in free speech. I mean, it was the equivalent of bringing down New York Times. If the government brought down New York Times, don't you think people would be up in arms? And that's, you know, I was kind of laughing or crying. You know, PJ Crowley is the spokesperson for the State Department, and back in during the Tunisian uprising, he was saying, you know, how dare the government interrupt free speech and go after social media, and how dare they take down these sites and hack these sites? And I'm like, well, that's what you did to WikiLeaks, isn't it? And we're getting into this position, particularly because they are caught with these emails. Okay, these are a bunch of government contractors. They have taken their skill sets and gone. At the recommendation of DOJ, right?
Yep.
Gone at the recommendation of DOJ,
yep.
And started profiling American citizens.
Yep.
For big companies that are, you know, kind of quasi, you know, the thing that just gets me is Chamber of Commerce, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole time that they've been engaging in this profiling of citizens.
Yep.
This is when Obama's been in his little charm offensive with them.
He's
been chumming up with them and hanging out with them at lunch and everything. And the whole time, they have been spying on American citizens in the same way that our government spies on terrorists.
And they're doing it with impunity. They're putting together these plans. They were not afraid that these things are illegal, that they're fraudulent, that they constitute libel, slander, fraud, forgery, everything else. And, you know, it seems that they just didn't care. They presumed that they were a big corporation. Therefore, they weren't going to be taken down. And again, Glenn Greenwald made the point that, you know, they're going to the ends of the earth to try to find some law that WikiLeaks broke. But when it comes to New York Times, you know, and Bob Woodward, who have leaked far more top secret documents, those guys are able to get away with it. So they pick and choose winners, and frankly, the big corporations have now become one with the federal government. The corporatocracy is complete. Brad in from Molloy, more straight ahead.
A restless man, he talks in mass.
Will any of these bastards ever be sent to jail? Will anybody from Wall Street who caused the greatest collapse, at least the second greatest collapse in the history of this nation, ever be held accountable? It doesn't seem so. It seems that the corporatocracy is near complete now, and you can break the law with impunity as long as you're doing it along with the government, who seems to approve. I'm speaking just a few more minutes. I'm going to try to get to some of these calls, too, so hang on the line if you can. Speaking with Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel. And, Marcy, you also noted today, by the way, that the plan was to pay people essentially $250 an hour to use Twitter to attack people like you and me?
Yeah, when they first pitched to the Chamber of Commerce, that's what they were going to charge for, basically a highly skilled troll. So to take down the union that represents the people who clean your office tower,
yeah,
and who care for you when you're sick, who make, you know, maybe $12 an hour,
right,
they were going to pay these people, they were going to charge the chamber at least $250 an hour. Now, the chamber kind of balked, and the chamber has basically been making these guys work for free for the last month and a half, 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, given that H.B. Gary has kind of everything hit the fan. I don't think they're going to get a cent from this. But what they wanted to do was employ trolls and pay them, you know, or at least charge a big corporation $250 an hour to troll.
Yeah, the same U.S. Chamber of Commerce that was fighting, spending millions of dollars to keep Americans from getting proper health care. Let me take a quick call here. Unbelievable. Bill Stone, welcome from Clearwater, Florida. I think it's okay to give your name, Bill, right?
Absolutely, Brad. As you remember, you and I became acquainted while each of us were working on the Clint Curtis, Tom Foley scandal a few years ago.
Yes, I do.
I liked what I read on your site. We incorporated a column written by you into the paper, of which I was editor at the time, the
yes,
publisher.
Sir.
In my personal opinion, bowed to pressure from who I believe was Florida Congressman Republican Bill Young to drop your column. Despite my protest, he insisted your column be eliminated. Even after doing so, I was fired within the year for my refusal to bow to the wishes of the publisher of the paper in regards to what would and would not be published. After my firing and the hiring of a new editor, the paper printed four more additional issues before folding. We were right, my friend.
Well, I didn't even know that backstory, so thank you for sharing it, Bill. I'm short on time, though. Do you have a thought on this chamber business?
Take the attacks as a badge of honor, Brad. That's what they are. And like you said, what is taking place in Egypt will take place here. It's only a matter of time. Brad, keep on keeping on, my friend.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the call. Yeah, frankly, I see nowhere else for this to go. Let me get to Art in Washington, D.C. Art, I'm sorry to say I've only got about 30 seconds at best for you. What's on your mind, brother?
Very briefly, I happened to get an email from a woman blogger runs a feminist news site called BlueWaveNews.com, and she reported, and her web host agrees that she was hacked after posting an article critical of the GOP and rape.
Well,
and I forwarded it to one of your emails as well as your producer. It's worth looking into.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Oh, did we lose Marcy again? We did. She's on that cell phone. All right. Thanks, Art. I appreciate that, and we will try to look into that. We do know that now that's what they do. That's what they do professionally. They get paid for it. They get paid a lot of money for it. They're able to break the law. They're able to attack you and me, and this is not a conspiracy theory. We have the documents now. We have the emails. Unfortunately, I lost Marcy Wheeler. She was on a cell phone. But please check out her writing on this. She's been combing through those emails while I haven't been able to, just trying to get my website back up. Marcy Wheeler, you can find her emptywheel.firedoglake.com. And if this continues, and I see it, no reason to believe it's going to stop. At some point, this nation is going to stand up like Egypt and say, enough. This country doesn't belong to the corporations. It belongs to you and me. Enough. We're going to call out the convoy again later in this show. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Some democracy in this country. Wouldn't that be nice? We will talk about that in a moment here with Frank Heindel, who I have been hoping to get on all week long, and I have to keep putting him off because of so much breaking news and everything going on. We're going to get to him momentarily. In the Twitters, Brad Friedman of Brad Blog of bradblog.com, which is now back up. Your friendly investigative citizen journalist, troublemaker, apparently, if you listen to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, troublemaker, muckraker, but I say all around swell fellow, and I hope you agree, in one more night for Mike Malloy, who will return on Monday with Kathy. On the Twitters, Benedict at Large writes to us after hearing our last segment talking about this some amazing assault that these thugs working with the Chamber of Commerce, though they now deny it, were putting together to attack progressive organizations, progressive journalists, and apparently folks like yours truly, who they named in these emails, and my family and personal details that they were preparing to target. Benedict at Large tweets to me, if DOJ recommended the stalking firm, and apparently they did, they recommended the law firm to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, this Hunton and Williams. If DOJ recommended the stalking firm, then they can't investigate. Due to conflict, you need a special prosecutor, my friend, says Benedict at Large. Yeah, and good luck getting that. Good luck getting any accountability. Good luck getting any accountability anymore in this country for this corporate crime spree that continues with impunity as the nexus between big corporations and big government continues to merge and to swallow this country. John Cole today, in writing about all of this and these U.S. chamber attacks, says one thing that even the dim bulbs in the media should understand by now is that there is, in fact, a class war going on, and it is the rich and powerful who are waging it. Anyone who does anything that empowers the little people or threatens the wealth and power of the plutocracy must be destroyed. You have to understand the mindset they are playing for keeps. The vast majority of the wealth isn't enough. They want it all. Anything that gets in their way must be destroyed. He goes on to say that at this point, you might as well not even bother to have elections because the entire system has become so rigged. Speaking of rigged elections and problems we're having, we're going now to someone who I have been putting off all week trying to get him on. And I'm going to have to give him short shrift again tonight, but we're going to try to get it all in as much as we can. Frank Heindel joins me now. He is a businessman from Charleston, South Carolina. He is a Republican who got interested in his state's voting machines after the Alvin Green, Vic Rawl debacle last year in the Democratic U.S. Senate primary, when this unknown man, a guy nobody had ever heard of, did no campaigning, had no money, Alvin Green, ended up somehow winning the nomination for the U.S. Senate, the Democratic U.S. Nomination for the U.S. Senate on 100% unverifiable voting machines that they use across the entire state of South Carolina. And by the way, that are used in some 20 to 30% of the rest of this country as well. Frank was recently featured in an HDNet special on Dan Rather's HDNet investigative report on the hackable state of these voting machines, these electronic voting systems that and a lot of folks know that I write about this quite a bit at bradblog.com. Frank has taken it upon himself to fight for some clarity and some accountability here by writing public record after public record request. And he's found some extraordinary things in the course of those public records requests. Hey, Frank, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, thank you for having me, Brad. I appreciate you having me. Appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, my friend, you're really my new hero here. Did you know anything about electronic voting before you started on what has really become a crusade out there?
7 or 8 months ago, probably what the average guy would know about it. Not very much, but it's been a very steep learning curve.
It has. It's real complicated, and I think they like it that way. So yeah. What did you – was it the Alvin Green, Vic Rawl race, in fact, that got you to say, hey, something doesn't smell right
here? Yeah, I was a little suspicious before, but that kind of gave me the impetus to really kind of jump in and get after it. And I, since probably the middle of June, I've filed probably 40 Freedom of Information Act requests at the county and the State Election Commission trying to understand what's going on, and right now I'm targeting the election files, the actual electronic files with all the digital data, to have some computer science experts analyze the counties.
Now, they use touchscreen voting machines made by ES&S, these horrible Ivotronic machines across the entire state, pretty much in South Carolina, the same machines, I should add, that entirely lost 18,000 votes in Florida in a special election in 2006 that went to the Republican down there by, I believe it was 360.
69 votes, and no one has ever explained what happened to those 18,000 votes, but Florida governor at the time, Charlie Crist, did at least get rid of the machines down there. But you guys still get to use them in South Carolina.
And it's the same. It's the same machine that the Ohio Everest Report cites as being, you know, unreliable and unsuitable to have elections. That's exactly the machine that we have here.
The Ohio Everest Report being the largest independent voting machine investigation study of its kind that was carried out by Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner a couple of years ago. Yeah, I mean, everybody who looks at these machines, frankly, finds that they're crap, that they're garbage, and even when they work, the problem is they are 100% unverifiable. This is 100% faith-based voting. So what have you found in the course of your 40 Freedom of Information Act requests?
Well, I've zeroed in more here probably since November and gone after maybe like 10 different counties, just picking them and going out and getting the election files and having the computer guys look at them.
Right.
And what we're finding is that there's a lot of holes in the data. There's precincts missing, and we're having to go back and keep asking for it. And at the county level and even at the state level, there's not the expertise to really give you much faith that everything's adding up, and it's, you know, we're having a hard time matching the certified totals that they've come up with using their data.
And because you were looking, and they count on people not doing this normally, but you were actually looking, at the audit logs for these machines?
Yes, the audit logs and the ballot image files predominantly, yes.
And you found, before we get to the lost and extra votes you seem to have come across, you found, what, thousands of errors reflected in these audit logs, correct?
Yeah, it documents how poorly the machine's performing. They've got battery problems, and there's a lot of terminal shutdowns. Unexpectedly shutting down during the day is one thing that just kind of jumped out at me,
mm-hmm.
and that was kind of what I focused on initially. But once you start kind of going in and trying to make sure all the PEBs and the machines get counted, I needed some help to do that. So that's kind of what I've been lucky to have people looking at that angle.
Yeah, because you were able to get in touch with some experts to look at the material that you got. Okay,
yeah.
Now let's talk about some of that material aside from the errors. I know a couple of weeks ago, as your investigation has moved forward, and by the way, I'm letting folks, the reason I wanted to talk to you is because you are setting the example for what citizens need to do in every county, in every state in this union, to oversee their own elections, to have real, self-governance. And so in looking at this, you found in Culloden County alone, 1,389 extra votes?
We didn't really find that. Another citizen out there initially found it, but basically it's about 10% extra votes, more than the actual people who showed up were actually certified in November. And the county didn't catch it, and the state didn't catch it. And when they had us, some of the citizens requested our auditors to go in there and kind of look through the data and say, what was the real count? You know, help us out.
And you guys were they able to explain these extra votes? Were these people who were voting illegally? What were these?
No, I never really heard a good reason as to why there was 1,389 extra votes. We couldn't really understand it looking at the database and the audit log files to come up with the reasoning.
And what about the county, Culloden County? Have they given you an explanation for more than 1,000 extra votes?
Well, they ended up coming back down and taking off about 1,400 of them, saying this is what it really should have been, and we can match that up. But the data that they've given me, it still has holes in it. It'd be helpful if it was all there so we could go back and count all the races and make sure that it was as they say it was. But when you have holes in the data, you can't quite get comfortable with the results.
And this data that you're getting, are you able to understand it at all yourself, or have you had to learn how to read these documents, or have you relied on the computer experts?
I've had to pretty much rely on the computer experts. I can go through the audit log and see the different votes cast by voter and the machine shutting down and turning on in the morning and shutting down in the evening. I can see that. But to look at the ballot image file and to understand that Nikki Haley had 5,563 votes in Culloden County or whatever the numbers are, I'm not that adept to do that.
There were, in fact, we're going to take a quick break here. Speaking with Frank Heindel, you can get more information on what he's been doing, his crusade, frankly, at scvotinginfo.com. We're going to find out about 13,000 votes that seem to be missing entirely
from Charleston County in South Carolina, discovered once again thanks to the great work of Frank Heindel. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead. When I see it. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Democracy in the USA. We could use some Egypt-style democracy out here where we actually are able to have self-governance and actually able to oversee our own elections to know that they were accurately recorded. And in 20 to 30% of this nation where we use touchscreen voting machines, whether they have that fake little paper trail or not, they are still 100% unverifiable voting machines. And Frank Heindel, who has set up a website called scvotinginfo.com, has been looking into what happened last year in South Carolina with his voting machines when somehow or another Alvin Green won the nomination for the U.S. Democratic Senate nomination last June on those touchscreen systems that are used across the entire state, the ESNS touchscreen systems. And I should add, because for so many years it has been progressives, Democrats, Greens, even libertarians from time to time who have been doing this fight. Frank Heindel is a Republican, and we thank him for making these public records requests and learning what he has about his voting machine and giving about his voting system and giving a damn overseeing his elections in his state. Okay, Frank. So you've learned also in looking state by county by county that we had what 13,500 votes apparently missing in Charleston County. Is that correct?
Well, that's what the files were lacking, that many ballot images to give us a complete picture. You know, kind of backing up a second, in South Carolina, the state law says that the vote should be counted in public. And if you're a citizen like myself and you're using an electronic voting system, you know, how can you count the votes in public? And the only way I see to do it is to get the electronic files, ideally, and publish them online and let us see that.
Well, except those electronic files, we don't know that that was the way that people actually voted.
I get that, and yeah. I can't change that. But the electronic files should ideally match with the certified totals.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
So just a basic accounting of number of votes in and number of votes out should total. That's kind of an elementary audit, and that's what we're trying to perform. And even that's hard to do.
And you found that there were just not images. So this isn't the matter of like undervotes where people didn't vote.
No,
you're saying there's actually no ballot image.
There's no ballot images for the November election. 13,501 ballot images, and for the June primary, there was 5,499 ballot images missing. So for a total of about 19,000 over the two elections.
And this is only in Charleston County, correct?
And only in Charleston County. And they're saying they're trying to find them and get them back to me. But you know, I would rather they be readily available. And kind of my argument going forward here is, if you can't reproduce the election and show it to me accurately as it happened, why should we trust the machines going forward?
You shouldn't. Our system's not built on trust. It's built on checks and balances.
Yes.
So what's their explanation for 13,500 missing votes?
I haven't heard a good explanation yet. I really haven't heard a good explanation. I've asked the legislative delegation to kind of look into it, and I'm hoping that I get a little more traction and get to see all the ballot images.
Frank, what you're doing out there is the most important work that I think can be done in this nation. So I want to personally thank you as a longtime election integrity activist myself. Welcome you aboard and thank you for what you're doing out there.
Same to you too, Brad. Appreciate it very much.
Please stop by scvotinginfo.com to see the work that Frank is doing. Try to emulate it in your hometown. I wasn't able to give him as much time as I would like just because there's so much breaking news here. But Frank, thank you. Keep up the good work, and please keep me updated as things progress.
We sure will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Frank Heindel from scvotinginfo.com, a citizen who took it upon himself to do the right thing. In this case, a Republican citizen who took it upon himself to do the right thing. So God bless him. scvotinginfo.com. You, too, can restore democracy in your hometown, your county, your state, but it's going to take some work. That work continues straight ahead as Sue Wilson joins me to discuss our media. Brad, in for Malloy.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Not scared, not falling. Stuck in the middle with you for another hour and a half or so. Delighted to be here. Man, delighted to be here. Delighted to be back up on the internet after an extraordinary day, an extraordinary night. We're going to, I suspect, return to the topic of this appalling U.S. Chamber of Commerce attack with their thugs. Frankly, they're thugs that are working with the government to attack private individuals, people like me, progressive organizations. Now we got the evidence of it. You can check out my interview that I did with David Dayan, who interviewed me today based on all of this over at Fire Dog Lake. While you're there, go to Empty Wheel, which is also part of Fire Dog Lake. Read her coverage of this. But do not miss Glenn Greenwald's piece today. He also was targeted for attack by these fraudsters and scammers. Working with the Bank of America, working with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, working with the U.S. government. And his take on it for my money is right on the money for what little money I have. We will return to that in a bit and take your calls in the certainly in the next hour. Open lines 877-520-1150. Before I get to my next guest here, a question from For Earth in the bradblog.com chat room. And you can now tonight, because we've had so much problem with the server, got up just before airtime. You can get to the chat room either at bradblog.com or at mikemalloy.com, where Desi and For Earth are moderating tonight. Very lively, great people in that chat room. You should go say hello to them. It's up while we're up live. So For Earth asks, question for Brad, has there ever been an election thrown out in the U.S. because of faulty machines or fraud? Well, not a lot. Generally, whoever wins on election night, whether they've actually won or not, gets to be the winner. That's how it works. And the more we use electronic voting machines, that's what happens more and more. There was an instance, however, recently up in Alameda County, I think it was an election in 2004, where there were some questions about that election on these touchscreen voting machines that California had used at the time. And as the case was going forward, the county, Alameda, secretly got rid of the machines. So they couldn't examine them anymore, so the case couldn't proceed. And the judge was so furious. It was a marijuana case. It was legalizing marijuana, as I recall, up in 2004. And so he threw out the results of the elections and ordered a new one, an incredibly rare instance. That's why on election night, We need to get it right, which I'm sorry to say I haven't figured out any better way than to count the ballots as written by hand on paper at the polling place after the close of polls in front of everyone, all parties, video cameras, right there at the polling place with the results posted before those ballots move anywhere. So far, I haven't found a better way to have real democracy, real self-governance when it comes to counting our ballots. The fight continues. Speaking of that fight, I'm joined now by Sue Wilson, a veteran journalist who blogs at SueWilsonReports.com. She's also the director of the documentary film Broadcast Blues, which you can get more information about at BroadcastBlues.com. I'm sorry, BroadcastBluesTV.tv. She's also become a good friend over the last year or two as we have been looking at the state of our media and how we have gotten into this mess that we are in and how it can be that so many people are so desperately disinformed. And it is, frankly, because they listen to the public airwaves where the corporations have taken them over and are lying to us constantly. Hey, Sue Wilson, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad, I am so not happy tonight.
Why is that? Why are you not happy?
I am really not happy with these intimidation tactics that I'm seeing them using on you and Glenn Greenwald and others, and this directly relates to our public airwaves.
Yep.
I'm really tired of being intimidated into silence, and I'm done being silent.
Good for you, and I hope a lot of other Americans feel the same way, because the fact of the matter is, if I didn't happen to be quote-unquote lucky enough to have this microphone this week to tell this story in the detail that I have, I can't imagine it would have. I know that Rush Limbaugh, I know that the right-wingers who own, what, 91% of talk radio in this country, I know that they're not talking about this story today, or Clarence Thomas having broken the law for 20 years. And we wonder how we get into these messes, Sue.
And we've got so many people out there who are so hateful. They are so angry. They're angry at the government. They're angry at each other. And it's a pack of anger based on a pack of lies, Brad. And I'm really, really tired of it. You ever hear of the old moral majority? I learned about the moral majority years ago. They were really a very vocal minority. Well, I'm here to tell all of you people listening out there, it is time for we, the majority, the people majority, the people of right minds and right thoughts and right actions, to start making some noise. Because this intimidation is never going to stop until we get our act together, when we become a force like the Tea Party, only we'll call it the Truth Party. What do you think of that?
Oh, I like that. Well, you know, you hit on a good point, Sue Wilson. You say, you know, there's a lot of anger, but that the anger is based on a pack of lies. And it's something I've been trying to speak to this week. You know, people have been righteously angry in many cases over the past year or two, certainly the past 10 years. But these folks in the Tea Party, they're being told one thing, you know, the government is doing. If, in fact, the government was doing what these Tea Party folks have been told they're doing, they would have every right to be angry. But the fact is, that's not happening. Something else is happening. There are things to be angry about. There are things to be angry at the government about, and really the corporations about. But most of America have no idea. They just don't hear these things. And you put together a report, Sue, looking at some important facts about our public airwaves. And I'd love to go through some of those bullet points that I already mentioned. One, 91% of talk radio programs are right wing. But a lot of people think that, oh, the media doesn't matter. I'm sorry, the public airwaves don't matter because now we've got the internet and satellite radio. And, you know, we don't need to fight to return the airwaves to the people. Your study shows the information you put forward in your study shows that's not the case. The internet is not where people get their news.
The internet will increasingly over time be where people get their news. But did you know that most people today get their news from radio, where people tend to think doesn't matter at all? 50 million people listening to these pack of lies on talk radio. You know, you tell a lie often enough and people think it's the truth. You put it on talk radio, you broadcast it to 50 million people, and you create an oral history.
And it is important because Rush Limbaugh, as you pointed out, more people listen to Rush Limbaugh in his 3 hours a day than listen to the entirety of Fox News during prime time. And so many people focus on Fox News as if they are the worst evil of them all, and maybe they are. But the fact is, more people are hearing not just Rush, but dozens and dozens and dozens of right-wingers lying to them. And I don't mind the lies so much as they are doing it on our public airwaves. Talk to explain how those are our public airwaves that these corporations are using.
Well, you know, first of all, it starts with the word air, okay? You breathe the air, and these frequencies go across the air, and it was ruled many years ago that these are the public airwaves. And in fact, the Supreme Court has ruled that anything that goes out through the public airwaves, it is the viewer and the listener whose interest is paramount, not the interest of the broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very important that people understand right here and now, these are our airwaves. And I'm here to say, there's been a lot of talk. I hear it all the time from these right-wingers who are, they're usually Tea Party folks. They're just trying to stand up for their right to hear Rush Limbaugh. And they'll say, they're infringing on my First Amendment rights by taking that away. I'm here to tell you right now, radio speech is not free speech. Radio speech will only be free speech when everybody gets a crack at that microphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so critically important that people get it. If you can hear my voice right now on the actual terrestrial radio airwaves, if you're sitting in a car listening to an AM station somewhere, you are in the minority. Only one out of 20 people in this country can do that.
One out of 20 when it comes to progressive radio. And that's because there is no, and for people who don't know the business, and I can tell you right here in this building that I'm sitting in, there is no competition in radio. The system has been rigged. These licenses have been given to corporations who own, you know, both right wing and maybe one or two, if they're lucky, progressive stations. They keep the progressive stations on the tiny little transmitter so nobody can hear them. They don't promote them. And while the big ones go out across the country, and by the way, it doesn't have anything to do with ratings, because when, you know, Stephanie Miller, whose studio I'm broadcasting in tonight, when she goes up against, for example, Laura Ingraham, Stephanie Miller wins. Yet Ingraham's on 400 affiliates, Stephanie's on 40. So there's a problem, and it's supposed to be overseen by the FCC. And Obama even said on the day that he came in to the White House that he was going to look again at media ownership. But it seems to me, Sue Wilson, the FCC has abdicated their role, has just stopped overseeing anything. All they're doing is handing out candy by way of licenses for free to these huge corporations that do not use them in the public interest as they are required.
That's right. Now, Michael Kopp's office, Michael Kopp, for those who don't know, is the FCC commissioner that a lot of progressives consider the FCC rock star. He's come out with a list of public interest obligations to try to put some real teeth into what licensees are supposed to be doing. But here's a misnomer, Brad, and I got this again from the FCC just about a week ago. This is really going to take an act of Congress to correct this problem. The FCC is going to come out with a study. It was supposed to be out by now. It'll probably be out in April about minority and female ownership of mm-hmm. our public radio airwaves.
Right.
Without even knowing what's in it, we already know what's in it. It's going to say that women and minorities don't own enough of the radio stations. But the trick is, there's no teeth. The FCC does not have the ability to change that. All they can do is issue a study. This is going to get down to legislators. We have got to start, A, educating the people about these are our airwaves, and we all have a right to get on the airwaves to express our various points of view and facts, okay? And B, we've got to start educating legislators, because congressmen, senators, most of them are unaware of this. And then we've got to start finding people to run for office that really understand this, because at the end of the day, the only way we're really going to change the ownership rules in this country is not through the FCC. It is by rewriting the 96 Telecommunications Act, which is 15 years old, and
signed by, and I got to get to a break, Sue, but yeah, it was signed by Bill Clinton and allowed the corporations to buy up pretty much as many radio stations as they want. Good luck getting those Congress folks in Congress to do anything. Not if the U.S. chamber has anything to say about it, Sue. And the fact is, Obama oversees the FCC. He could order them tomorrow, it seems to me, to restore the fairness doctrine, and then Congress has to unwind the Telecommunications Act. I'm speaking with Sue Wilson, Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Much more straight ahead. Look at the tears roll down the street.
Whoa, pirates, yes, they're all right. Sold out to the merchant ship. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit.
There are 2,570 hours of right-wing talk radio broadcast each weekday versus 254 hours of progressive talk over our public airwaves, which we ought to be protecting the way we protect our national parks. I'm speaking with Sue Wilson of SueWilsonReports.com, who has educated me a lot on what is going on in the media in this country and over our public airwaves. And next hour, by the way, we will take your calls on any topic you want to talk about. 877-520-1150. Get in line now, 877-520-1150, on the attack by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the corporatocracy that has taken down, that is taking down this nation, on Egypt, on the media that has been lost in this nation. Whatever you want, 877-520-1150, all next hour. All right, Sue Wilson, you also write in your report, you point out that despite the availability of numerous new media alternatives, that radio's weekly reach has declined only modestly in the past several years. The reach of radio was, it reached 94.9% of Americans in the spring of 2001, and when the iPod was introduced, to only 91% in fall of 2008. So as of 2008, at least, still radio, actual terrestrial radio, our broadcast airwaves, are still listened to by 90% of America.
People don't get it, and it's so important. And you know, if you look at the where these airwaves are being utilized, you know, Brad, you and I both come from the Midwest.
Yeah.
I think we have a little bit different perspective, because if you go to the Midwest, it's darn near impossible to find a progressive voice on the radio.
Oh. Good luck. Good luck finding them out here, frankly, in California, to be frank. Boy.
It's very difficult, but man, you can drive, you know, 2,000 miles across this country and not hear a single progressive voice. You're going to hear Rush and Glenn and Sean and all those folks,
yep,
any little corner of the country you go to. Here's what scares me, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing our culture.
Yep.
It's literally changing our culture, and I think Sheriff Dupnik saw that.
That's out in Pima County after the shooting of Gabby Giffords in Tucson. Sure,
that's right.
Right.
And I did a nice little piece for the Brad blog.
You did
about
indeed.
That.
Yes.
And it took a little bit of heat for that, but at the end of the day, he was right. Here you got a sheriff who has been a sheriff for many, many years, who's seeing a mob.
Mm-hmm.
He's seeing a mob start to be created, and he knows why. Now, did that mob create Jared Lee Loughner? Not so sure, but there's a critical mass here.
Mm-hmm. That mob certainly, you know, created Byron Williams, who thankfully was stopped before he could finish his plan to assassinate everyone at the ACLU and at the Tides Foundation, this organization that nobody had ever heard about, frankly, until Glenn Beck started talking about it. Glenn Beck, by the way, gets 2.1 million viewers on Fox News, but 9 million listeners on the radio. Sean Hannity gets 2.5 million on Fox News, but 14.25 million listeners on talk radio. Radio matters. That is where America is getting these messages, these lies, the sorts of things, you know, that leads that guy, and I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden, in Knoxville, Tennessee, to go into a church. And a church he perceived to be liberal, and shoot as many people as he could and kill them back in 2009 because he wanted to kill everyone in Bernie Goldberg's book of the 100 liberals that are killing America or destroying America. He couldn't get to them, so he said, I'll just kill liberals anywhere I can. They are put up to this, and it is via our own airwaves and our own elected officials, including Barack Obama, and the Democrats are doing nothing about it.
You're right. And you know, you talked a couple minutes ago about restoring the Fairness Doctrine. I actually am old enough. I worked under the Fairness Doctrine. And you know what's happened is you've got Sean Hannity and the rest of them who've been scaring people on our public airways for years. They've been getting on their big microphones going, it's the Fairness Doctrine. It's the Fairness Doctrine.
Right.
It's the Fairness Doctrine. We're not going to be able to talk to you people anymore.
Right. They want to take right conservative talk off the air. Yeah.
Well, God, I mean, what ever happened to be able to have an actual conversation where you take a set of facts and you each have an opinion about what those facts mean and be able to really have a debate? Hey, don't you think for 1 minute, Brad, that if you put Rush Limbaugh on the air with Keith Olbermann, you think that would get ratings?
Hey, listen, put Rush on 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 600 stations, that's fine. Put Olbermann on for the next 3 hours. I don't want to take anybody off the air. I want more voices, not less. Sue Wilson of SueWilsonReports.com, thank you for your good work. Keep it up. We'll talk much more in the future, I suspect.
Hugs, Brad.
All right. Okay, we're coming back with your calls here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad, in for Mike. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. My last hour here this week, filling in for Mike Malloy. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly, investigative, citizen, journalist, blogger, troublemaker, and muckraker. Bradcasting for one more hour here from lovely Los Angeles. Beautiful night tonight at the studios of K-Talk AM 1150. My thanks to those folks for allowing me to sit in here and use, I guess I should also thank Stephanie for letting me use her studio, her chair, and her microphone. No, my thanks to Stephanie Miller. All week long. Mike and Kathy will be back on Monday. Yes, your long national nightmare is over. It's been a hell of a week here. It really has been. And I'm going to get to your calls in a moment. 877-520-1150. We have a few more lines open. 877-520-1150. You can still join the live chat room at, take your pick, same chat room, but you can get there at bradblog.com or mikemalloy.com tonight. Given everything that's going on, we thought a backup version would be a good idea. You can also Twitter me at TheBradBlog is my Twitter handle, and that's where you can also follow me after I'm gone, after I disappear into the ether, not after I'm gone, but, you know, after I'm not on the air anymore, because I'm just a blogger, and I'll go back to being just a blogger, dude, after this hour, like, is it Kismet? No, what's that place that appears every 150 years, and I can't remember. All right, I got to study my musical theater. Anyway, it has been an amazing week as I opened the show mentioning last Friday when I began this week of covering for Mike. I had promised him I would get rid of Hosni Mubarak before the week was done. And, I kind of think I delivered. Here was my promise last week.
No, Hosni Mubarak has not left yet, but I'm going to make it my personal mission between now and the time I'm done broadcasting next week on the Malloy Show to rid Egypt of Hosni Mubarak. That's it. He'll be gone by the time we finish up next week.
Well, so there you go. So we took care of that. Again, check that off the list. Got rid of Hosni Mubarak. Okay. Then we talked about the Clarence Thomas earlier in the week, and much of that has gotten lost, but it should not get lost to you. Clarence Thomas, who falsified his financial disclosures for the past 20 years, and he ought to be held accountable, ought to be held. It was a crime. And you can get information on that at bradblog.com, and Alternate later on picked up the story as well. But very few other people are even covering this. And we have the documents. We have the, you know, you can see his signature where he didn't include the hundreds of thousands of dollars that his wife was getting from right-wing organizations. And you can see the special treatment that he got to cover it up. Go check out that story, and let's have some accountability now that Egypt, now that I personally, of course, have taken care of Egypt. And then the Chamber of Commerce has turned their guns on progressives once again. They're hired thugs, and that story continues to develop. Hopefully I'll be able to write more about it at bradblog.com now that we're back up, but they were in fact targeting me, my family, putting the personal details together for a concerted attack. They were going after Glenn Greenwald. They were going after my nonprofit organization, velvetrevolution.us. So I ask you to stand up for progressive organizations like velvetrevolution.us, like U.S. Chamber Watch, which is sponsored by A Change to Win, which I should add, I have nothing to do with, despite the conspiracy they claimed in their emails that we have now seen. Support Salon. Support Brad Blog. Support your favorite. Support Fire Dog Lake, frankly, Empty Wheel over there. The work she's been doing on these emails that we've discovered is fabulous, is terrific. David Dayan over there covering this story. If you don't support progressive media, progressive radio, Mike Malloy, his podcasts, subscribe to them. If you don't support progressives, there will be no more. And there are already damned too few. Good luck finding us. We are here, but we all could use your help. We all are in this democracy together, including those folks who have been lied to. The good folks, frankly, not the insidious ones, but the good folks who have been lied to, who have been angered over there in the Tea Party, who have been told all manners of things which are just lies. Once they learn the truth, they will join you and me. And we'll see what happened in Egypt happen in this country. I don't see any other way this goes. Anyway, let me, let's go take some calls here. 877-520-1150. Tom in San Diego, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, I want to talk about the, you know, any of the liberal stations, so-called liberal stations, whatever they want to call them, seem to have a very weak, weak signal. You know, in San Diego, we have a station called KLSD.
Used to. You used to.
Yeah, we used to. And the only reason I can listen to you now is because I'm satellite.
Yep.
But you know, but I'd be going up north, and I think you're in L.A. Because I think you're aren't you broadcasting out of KTLK or something like that?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yeah, and that has a very weak signal too.
Yep. Good luck. Good luck hearing it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because I work up in L.A. a lot and I stay up there.
Meanwhile, down the hall, by the way, 20 feet down the hall, the right-wing radio station can be heard across what 14 states, KFI, a very fine station. If you like right-wing talk radio, heard in 14 states, and I can hear K-Talk sometimes in the parking lot downstairs. But
I don't doubt it. But, yep. You know, I had satellite, my radio screwed up in my car. It's kind of a little transfer thing. You know, you got an adapter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this jerkwad from San Diego by the name of Roger Hedgecock. And I go, what in the hell is he doing on progressive radio?
Yeah.
And that thing comes through loud and clear, 100-and-something miles away from my house.
You know, by the way, I kind of like Roger Hedgecock. I had him on he had me on his show some years ago. I know he's a far right winger, but he was with me on the fact that we ought to have paper ballots that ought to be overseen and countable by the people. So, but no, listen, down there in where you are in San Diego, KLSD, a good progressive station owned by Clear Channel, who also owns the right wing station, decided to close down KLSD. And put in, I think, what was it, like the fifth sports station in San Diego?
Oh, so, yeah, and it's,
And good luck. Right. And good luck finding progressive talk on our free public airwaves in San Diego, one of the largest and greatest cities in this nation. It is an outrage because we are talking about our public airwaves. Hey, Tom, I got to run. I really appreciate your call. Hang in there, brother.
I am. I'm trying.
All right, brother.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, let's go to, here we go. Oh, Lonnie in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to the, Mike Malloy Show, Lonnie.
Hey, thank you. I was calling about, Chamber of Commerce harassing you and doing that, but I it's like a trickle down thing. I called Mike Pence's office in September.
Mm-hmm.
I was reported, that office falsely reported me to the state capitol police as having called them up to threaten to murder their entire staff.
What?
When all I did was
Mike
call...
Pence of Indiana?
Yeah.
What, why did you call him, and did you threaten to murder his whole staff, Lonnie?
I didn't say anything like that to them. I called them up when they refused to re-up the unemployment benefits for all those people.
Right.
And I called their office, and I called John Boehner's office and said, you know what? You guys are going to be responsible for hundreds of deaths of people who are basically hanging on by the sheer threads, and you're going to be responsible for them, you know, freezing to death and getting sick this winter because this is how critical these benefits are to people. And the guy on the phone was on Pence's office surprised me because he was really friendly. John Boehner's office was not so friendly, right? And he was like, okay, I'll tell him, right? Thank you for calling.
Right.
2 days later, I get a call from the Eugene Police Department.
What?
Investigating me because the Capitol Police had been reported that I threatened their lives.
Oh, my God. What, did they have a recording of it? I'm sure they record all the calls.
That's what I said to them, and they're like, well, the guy was like, well, I don't have those details. I was just told to investigate you. And I said,
oh, man.
I didn't even spank my kids. I'm a complete pacifist.
Man.
I wrote a little quick response letter, and then I thought, they're not going to read it anyway. So I wrote like a 6-page letter and sent it to Boehner's office, Pence's office, the investigating detective, to the Capitol Police, to Barack Obama, my two senators, and my congressman, and Nancy Pelosi's office, because honestly, those guys, it's like I told the detective, this is the Republican Party trying to use the strong arm of the law to intimidate me.
That's
to
it.
Keep me from calling them up and reminding them of their civic duty to Americans.
Lonnie, thank you for not taking that lying down. Thank you for making noise. Thank you for coming in here tonight and using your public airwaves to tell that story.
Well, thank you.
And I hope that all other Americans find out that they needn't be intimidated by these thug-like tactics. Thanks, Lonnie. I really do mean it.
Thank you so much. You know what? I got a tattoo in November that says, love is greater than fear. And that is what we need to live with.
I hear you, Lonnie. Thank you. We can roll over and we can take this crap and we can see that, the Justice Department is going to attack folks if they break the law, if they're on the wrong side of politics. But, you know, the corporations, they can get away with anything with impunity. And that's what we saw in this chamber attack. Brad in for Malloy. Stay with us.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
Yeah, we could use that convoy.
Will
the trucker from Tennessee called in earlier this week, said that he had been listening to the show, that he felt we had awakened the sleeper in him. He was comparing it to the movie Dune, I guess, where there's these corporations have taken over. And he said, what we need is a convoy. We do indeed. We need a convoy. We need the truckers on board. They can shut down any town, any place they go to. Roll in the 18-wheelers to D.C., roll them into Philly. I see that the Chamber of Commerce is meeting in 2 months from now at the West Inn in Philadelphia.
You can get more information on that if you'd like to stop by to see to their conference at cciconference.com. You know, they also have a great big building in Washington, D.C., where you can practice your Egyptian skills, standing up for yourself and your democracy. It's right there. But we got to stand up and demand it peacefully. Let's go to Robin in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Robin.
Good evening.
Good evening. What is on your mind tonight?
Oh, the same thing has been on my mind pertaining to you for the better part of a year, and that's that you find 5 minutes to kick your feet up on a desk.
That I find 5 minutes to kick my feet up? I like that, yeah.
I just wanted to call and say thank you. I know you've had a rough couple of days with your website being down. It is back up.
Yes, it
is. I
don't
know how long it's been back up.
Just went up just
before
30 seconds before airtime tonight. The administrators were able to get it back up, and it may go down. I'm told a little bit later tonight for a shorter time. But yeah, we're back up. We will not be silenced. I'm told it was just a hardware error. We hope that's what they think. That's what they say. That's what they're correcting. But it's been a hell of a 24 hours to be sort of feel like you have your tongue cut out. I couldn't talk about the attacks from the chamber and all of that.
Well, Common Dreams was down for about an hour and a half the day before, and then I frequent a message board. I don't know if I'm allowed to give it a plug.
Sure, go ahead.
Old Elm Tree.
Okay.
Was also having some serious server issues.
Well, listen, Robin, things happen. You know, servers go down. Given what we now know, given the concerted effort, given the emails that you can see where these bad guys working with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce were planning these schemes to put out fake documents, you know, to try to discredit progressive organizations, me, Glenn Greenwald, Chamber, U.S. Chamber Watch, StopTheChamber.com. This is what they do. And as Marcy Wheeler told us earlier, you know, it looked like they were willing to pay $250 an hour to go on Twitter and badmouth people with their crap, basically. This is what they do. And they do it with impunity, and it needs to be stopped. And Robin, can I just give you one? Glenn Greenwald wrote this. There are supposed to be institutions which limit what can be done in pursuit of those private sector goals. They're called government and law. To the contrary, the full force of government and law will be unleashed against anyone who undermines Bank of America and Wall Street executives and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and telecoms and government, which is why they concluded that proposing such a pernicious and possibly illegal attacks would be deemed not just acceptable, but commendable. They are not afraid because the government and the big corporations have now become one. Sorry to rant into your ear there.
Well, I'm going to try, and it'll be shorter, but hopefully it'll be just as much fun. In the age of means over merit, vice is virtue, and virtue vulnerability.
That's what's happened in this country. Robin, I appreciate your call. Keep fighting the good fight out there.
You do the same. I'll be looking to get involved with Velvet Revolution.
Good. Sign on up. Really appreciate it. Appreciate the support.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks so much for all you do.
Thank you. We'll take more of your calls straight ahead. 877-520-1150. Don't back down. Don't let the bad guys scare you. Keep up the good fight. And by the way, you don't need to support guys, any politicians, just because they have a D by their name or even because they have an R by their name. As I say over and over and again, this is not about right and left. This is about right and wrong. Calling out the bad guys, your independent progressive friend right here, Brad Friedman, on the Mike Malloy Show. One more half hour left. Some lines open if you want to get in. 877-520-1150.
And for tonight, since I've sat right down and cried, keep raining. All the time.
So long, 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 so long.
did. We tried to warn you.
You can keep going.
Yeah, it drives you crazy, doesn't it, that song, Tony? Yeah. Uh-huh. Now you like it. All right. So long, and thanks for all the fish. Indeed, Brad Friedman in for our last half hour here for Mike Malloy. He will be back next week, rested and ready to change your world. 877-520-1150 is our phone number if you want to get in. 877-520-1150. Your last chance. Your last chance to talk to me. Your last chance to tell me I'm no good. I'm just a no-good Nick. Last chance for the, Chamber of Commerce to come on in with their little spam bots making $200 an hour to come in and tell me I'm no good. Love to hear from you, including right-wingers. I have no problem with you. Let's see, a couple of pieces of business here. I am told that it is, and I haven't verified this, but orangutan in chat at the bradblog.com chat room tells us today is Thomas Edison's birthday. So happy birthday, Thomas Edison. And Gustav Mahler tells us that it's Sarah Palin's birthday today. She's 47. Happy birthday, Sarah. And your friends over at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Sarah, they know my birthday, apparently, because they posted it in an email to each other as they were preparing their attack, specifically the reprehensible and disgusting CEO of a company named H.B. Gary Federal. You can look up their website, hbgary.com. The CEO is Aaron Barr, who essentially put together all of these hits on progressives like me and my family, where I live. Hey, Aaron, you haven't scared me, but I understand you have lost quite a bit of work over these past 24 hours. Nice going, jerk. For Earth in chat asked me to predict, since I predicted that Hosni Mubarak would be gone before I finished broadcasting this week. She now asked me to predict when Clarence Thomas will resign. Well, he will as soon as you people demand it. You see, I won't be on the air anymore for until I'm called back into duty. But if you people demand it, if you people raise holy hell, if the convoy rolls into D.C., and demands that a guy who broke the law for 20 years should not be sitting on the highest court in the land, then maybe Clarence will have a choice. As long we'll have the choice to leave or not. And then, by the way, stay there until he does leave. As long as you do nothing, he will do nothing, and he will keep deciding cases against your best interest, against the interests of this nation, and in favor of the corporations who line his pockets and his wife's pockets with millions and millions of dollars before he goes out and he lies about it. Okay, let's go to Bob in San Francisco. What's on your mind? Welcome to the Malloy Show, Bob.
Hi, Brad. Two of your enemies today, Bank of America and the AmCham. I sent you an email on the AmCham. It just concerns the fact that...
It would be the American U.S. Chamber of Commerce you're talking about.
Yeah, the foreign branches, really.
Oh, yes, right. The AmCham, where they get their foreign money that they then use in our public elections.
Well,
yeah.
It's that was the beef, that it was foreign, but who's to say it wasn't American money like Bechtel money or Halliburton or Blackwater money?
No, because Clarence Thomas said you can have as much private corporate money as you want in our public elections, and everyone else can go to hell because corporations are people, and people are sitting around and buying this crap instead of pulling an Egypt and saying, no, we're taking our country back. But anyway, Bob, go ahead.
Well, it can stay overseas and be tax-free. Maybe it can come into this country as political gifts, at least after Citizens United it can. But the fact that there are some laundered through Bahraini oil and Abu Dhabi ports and that sort of thing may mean that they were already in the pipeline before the decision and they came through in that form. There might be quite a bit more dirt and illegality connected with that kind of money, although it's very much the minority of what eventually could come through after the decision. But I hope it doesn't get buried because of the enormity of the $80 billion came in 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, it is going to get buried. Thanks for your call, Bob. It is going to get buried. Nobody is reporting it. Nobody is covering it. We're barreling towards 2012, and unlimited corporate money can go to any candidate, essentially, or against any candidate. The U.S. chamber is in charge. The corporations are in charge. And you, my fellow Americans, are not. Larry in Berkeley, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Given the lack of political will to break up the media monopoly
right
in the country, and given the lack of political will to create the regulations necessary to provide for a way for people like Mike and you and Desi and other progressives to be able to get on the airwaves and have a fair shot at being able to influence people, what can be done to develop a countervailing force of the audience to be able to press or to influence these large media concerns that they want a Brad Friedman or a Mike Malloy, and that would and then they would put a Brad or a Mike Malloy on the air because these businesses would know.
Okay, let me answer. Let me answer your question that I think you're asking, Larry. There are a number of things that you can do. When you hear people advertising on this radio station, if you're listening, if you're lucky enough to be listening over the air, support those people who buy ad time on that station. Thank them, call them, thank them for doing for that. Ask them to continue doing it. Patronize their businesses when you can. Call your progressive radio stations and thank them for continuing to have such programming on the air. Call the stations that aren't and ask them to do it. If you happen to have a whole bunch of money out there, see if you can get one of these radio stations, one of these licenses. They're releasing a lot of new 1,000 watt that you know very few people can hear, but we got to start somewhere. And you know, there's a lot of ways to fight. And by the way, one more, Larry. When these Democrats come in and they give you this crap that the airwaves don't matter, that the future is the internet, that we're not going to fight to restore the airwaves, to unwind the Telecommunications Act, don't just turn around and vote for them again. Don't give them your money. Tell them you either restore the airwaves to the people or you can go to the Chamber of Commerce to get your goddamn money, but you're not getting it from me. Sorry. Go ahead, Larry.
Let me ask one last thing. A number of listeners to progressive radio, a lot of them don't have much money, such as myself, or they don't have access to computers. So the only it's very difficult for them to be able to give pay for the Mike Malloy podcast or the Brad Friedman podcast to be able to support you all, you know, financially.
Yeah.
So in light of that situation, you know, it's very difficult because there are a lot of organizations that I would like to give money to because I support them politically, but my situation is such that I just can't.
I hear you, Larry. I do. I hear you, and I understand. And there are other ways that don't require money. If you do have a computer or if you do go to the library to use the computer, you know, dig their articles, hit Reddit, tweet, you know, to these stories that you find. Like I say, you can call those radio stations and thank them for running progressive programming. And for those who don't, ask them to add it. We have, you mentioned Desi Doyen. She's my co-host on the Green
That's
News
correct.
Report.
Yes.
You're lucky enough to be able to hear it up in Green 960. Most progressive stations around the country, most radio stations certainly don't have it at all. You can hear it at greennews.bradblog.com, but call your radio station and ask them to add it. They can add it for free. It's 6 minutes. Play it at the top of the hour. You know, participate. Make noise. Raise hell. There are ways, those groups that you support, see if they could use some volunteer work. I got to run, Larry, but there are ways to help. Keep going. Keep fighting.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Brad.
Really appreciate it. Really appreciate your call and your concern and your interest in doing the right thing and fighting the good fight. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. 520-1150. Oh, we got a trucker on the line. Truckers go straight to the front these days. David in trucker in Mississippi. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say keep doing what you're doing. A lot of us out here appreciate it. It's really, really, really hard on regular radio to hear anything progressive. I can testify to that. That's why I got satellite.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
And out of curiosity, Obama's announcement where he said he was going to auction off, I believe it was frequencies, radio frequencies.
Right.
Won't that help progressive radio?
Yes, unfortunately, if you're talking about the same story that I think you are, these are 1,000 watt stations that can be heard, a good 10 or 20 feet from the transmitter. But they're the little tiny stations. We got to start somewhere. Got to get those licenses. Yes, that could help progressives if they take those, even though they are weak, even though they are really ghettoizing progressive talk. I had mentioned that he was going to reform the media ownership, as he said on his website on January 20th, 2009, the day that he was sworn in on the White House website. By summer, that promise had been removed quietly from the White House website, and we are still doing nothing about it, David. Do me a favor, get on that CB radio, find the other progressive truckers out there, organize, head on out to D.C., and see what you can do to change the world before I come back to guest host next time, will you, David?
All right, cool.
All right, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. 877-520-1150. We'll take a quick break and come back. You have your last chance right now to get in. If you'd like to say hello or goodbye or thanks for all the fish, 877-520-1150. You're listening to Brad Friedman of bradblog.com for just a few more minutes. On the Malloy Show, never fear, Mike and Kathy are back next Monday. Stay with us.
As long as you lend a hand, you can sit around and wait for the phone to ring. Hacienda's dark, the town is sleeping. Now the time has come to part, the time for weeping. Vaya con Dios, my darling.
My thanks as ever to the greatest engineer in the whole wide world, Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, brother. It's been a great week, a lot of fun. Nice that you finally shaved. Also to my producer, screener, chat room host, co-host of the Green News Report, Desi Doyen. Thank you, Des. Sorry to put you out this week. You can rest over the weekend. Of course, to 4Earth for joining in this week and helping us in that chat room. Really great to have you on board. Extraordinary thanks tonight in particular to George Vassilopoulos and the crew at MikeMalloy.com for helping us get up when and on their website tonight when it didn't look like we were going to be able to get up on BradBlog.com at all. Until just moments before airtime. So thank you, George. Really appreciate the hand there. If you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid, though he, too, is on that progressive cruise with Mike and Kathy. I believe the John Fox is filling in from Australia. And my great thanks. Great thanks also tonight to Marcy Wheeler of Empty Wheel, Frank Heindel of scvotinginfo.com, and Sue Wilson of suewilsonreports.com. And finally, my great thanks for allowing me to stand in all week long, all the way back to last Friday, to Mike and Kathy Malloy. Hope you had a nice time. You have been missed, and you will be welcome back here on Monday. Did you hear that, truth seekers? the Malloys are headed back this way. Your long national nightmare is over. Let's go get a couple more calls here very quickly. Daryl in Denville, New Jersey. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, I'm a big fan of Mike, and now I'm a fan of yours.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, listen, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, you know? I mean, one of the things that we're going to have to do is dispel this myth that that there isn't enough money on the left to support progressive radio. I mean, for one thing, the unions are going to have to stop spending $25 million to defeat the Blanche Lincolns of the world and put that money into getting message out, because this is bigger than just
one person. The unions, what was wrong with getting Blanche Lincoln out? She was a Republican Democrat. What was the problem with that?
Well, what I'm saying is this problem is much bigger than just Blanche Lincoln.
Yeah, it is, but we have to fight. We have to fight every race, every place, every election to get good progressives in there. Yeah, you're going to lose some. That's going to happen. But you know what? Having a Blanche Lincoln in there ain't going to do anybody any favors, because she's voting with Republicans. You know, stand up. And I don't care about the Democrats, by the way. I want progressive values that people care about. People that are, you know, that are about people and putting people to work, not the lies, not the crap that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is selling you, not the Fox News crap they're selling you, but the real stuff that supports Americans.
I agree with you. I just want to see five or six more Mike Malloys. One last thing, if I might.
Yeah.
You know, Pinochet, you know, he never thought he'd be out of there. Marcos, the Shah, all these people. And so for these fascists in this country, you know, your day is coming too. And I think that one of the reasons why so many on the right are not sure what to think about Egypt is they know it doesn't bode well for these right-wing bastards who are suppressing freedom in this country. And their day is going to come.
Pro-war criminal, pro-torture crowd. We could do without them. And, yeah, we still have one pro-torture war criminal, at least former president, running around, George Bush. And I will fight for accountability there until the day I die. I got to go, Daryl. I'm sorry.
Funny that he couldn't go to
Switzerland. Yep, it was. They'll hold him accountable, even if we won't. Let's say we do hold him accountable. Thanks for the call, Daryl. Do I have to? I can make it. Okay, let's go really fast. Hey, John in Santa Monica, very quickly. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Sorry to give you short shrift, but what's on your mind?
I just like to magnify what Daryl said about 10 times. I totally agree with him. And when the DNC asks me for money, I tell them, you start giving money to left-wing radio, and then maybe I'll think about it. I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I don't care about Democrats. I care about progressives.
There you go. Well said, John. Keep up the good fight out there. And finally, let's go to Jerry in South Carolina. Can you be as fast as John was? And welcome to the show, Jerry. Oh,
hello. There
you are. You're on. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, man, we were going to hit the streets. You know, I'm a truck driver myself, and, you know, I'm just tired of when we talk on the radio, on TV, about what we should do about the tax rate.
Right.
When Reagan came in, that was fair and everything. Why aren't we doing something about it?
I don't know, Jerry. One of the reasons is because most people don't hear the message. You have now heard it. Jerry, you are now in charge. You've got a big microphone. You got a CB radio. It's time you get that message out there. You get the truckers together. You guys can shut down any city you want. You guys can shut down this nation. Jerry, you are now in charge. Don't drop the ball. I'm counting on you, my friend. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the fight. Thanks to all the good folks in the bradblog.com chat room all week long. You guys have been awesome. Thanks to you listeners for supporting the work that we do here. It has been my pleasure and my honor. Until I am back here again, you can find me, hopefully, at bradblog.com. Good night, America. Keep it lit.